Welcome to the Military Child Education Coalition podcast, the show that highlights a wide range of challenges and triumphs that our military-connected kids experience. My name is Nikki Harrison, and I'll be your host today. We would like to say thank you for the support of the Mildenhall Spouses Association for this episode. I am so excited to have joining me today a really special guest, a military child all grown up, which we love to hear from. And I would love for him to just start by telling a little bit about himself and growing up as a military child.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to speak with you today. So my name is Corey Petko. I'm 24 years old. I have a father who retired after 24 years in the Navy. He worked a lot of that on the flight deck, and I grew up as a military kid. That meant moving a lot. I was fortunate. I didn't have to move as much as some other kids, but I did live in military housing, which meant I got new neighbors every year. Everyone was new, and everyone at my schools were all military connected. So we were a very, you know, unique community where a lot of ships, a lot of changes. And that's how I grew up. Now I work for a defense contractor as a cybersecurity analyst, protecting their networks and everything we do as a business.
Thank you for telling us a little bit about yourself. And I want to just mention something that you said that I think a lot of times we don't think about is that for some of our military children who maybe don't move as much or don't PCS as much, if you're living on a military installation, you're still experiencing transitions because you're getting new neighbors. And I love that you said that because I never thought about it until you just said it. You might live next door to someone for a year, two, or three, and then a whole new family moves in right next door to you. I think that's great to kind of talk about that you're experiencing transitions as well. Do you have a favorite location, though, that you live?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I have to be a little faithful to my home state, Florida, just because, I mean, it was beautiful there. That was probably my favorite. Although, gotta give it to Virginia Beach. There are some really awesome people here.
Yeah, both are really nice. The weather, and you have the water. I love the water. As someone who is married to a retired Marine, we are coastal. We are Department of the Navy. And so we love the water too. So I like that. I like Florida and Virginia Beach. Good, really good areas. So I know you talked about not maybe moving as much, but still having some moves and some transitions. And I was thinking about, did you face any educational challenges that are related to the highly mobile military lifestyle that, you know, we live?
Yeah. So there's one story that I always like to point to that is such a weird thing that most people don't think about is the curriculum differences between school districts. I moved up to Virginia at the end of my second grade year, and in Florida, they taught cursive in third grade. Here in Virginia, they teach it in second grade. So because of that transitional period, I actually never learned to write cursive. So it's one of those like niche things. I mean, there were a bunch of, you know, trying to fit in and all that stuff, but it's just one of the little things that like I take for granted, or normally you take for granted, that I just never learned because of having to move. And I kind of had to figure that out, especially when it came time to sign documents and things like that.
That's a good one, cursive. And now so many school districts are just not even teaching cursive. So I think it depends on it wherever you live. But what an interesting learning gap, because you missed, you know, that coverage of that one concept that was being taught. And so that's really interesting. So I was going to ask, how did you navigate the challenges? So did you teach yourself cursive, or did mom or dad or someone step in and assist?
So a lot of it was heavy, heavy internet Googling, trying to figure this out, tracing lines, which was in some ways embarrassing as a 16, 17 year old that I was having to go back to those like first grade, second grader worksheets. But I also have to give a shout out to my AP US government teacher who stayed after one day to make sure I learned how to sign my name because of how important it was. So I did have some help along the way. A little bit late, but I got there in the end.
I love that. I got goosebumps when you said you had a teacher that stayed behind and helped you. Because we always talk about it just takes one person that takes the time to assist you or support you in something, and they can make all the difference in the world. So shout out to that AP history teacher that helps teach you how to sign your name. I really love that. But what an interesting kind of challenge that you had missing that key concept of cursive. So really interesting. So now I guess I should ask, do you write in cursive more or do you print more? Or is it a combination?
I avoid cursive at all costs too.
I knew you were going to say, I felt like it was like, he's going to say no, or don't do the cursive. I'm just, yeah. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know about that. That's good. Okay. So I know you're a member of your student to student program when you were in school, or S2S. And I'm just curious, how did you first get involved?
My guidance counselor at the time brought me over into the office and said, hey, we have this program. It's to help kids transitioning in the middle of the year, you know, that are maybe feeling a little uncomfortable, a little scared, nervous. I feel like you would be one of those kids that would be welcoming and help, you know, bring a friendly face to the rest of school. So that's pretty much it. And of course, I never like to say no, and especially when it comes to helping people. So I said yes, and the rest is kind of history.
I like that, though. A counselor, again, another person saw something in you that, you know, thought that you could be really helpful and a great asset to a student-to-student program. And I think that's so exciting, especially because this year actually is our 20th anniversary for student-to-student. So I know, right? 20 years.
Wow.
And I think it's really exciting to highlight some of the benefits that S2S has for those students that are transitioning into the school, as well as those students that are taking an active role participating in their S2S chapters, clubs, or organizations, whatever you call it at your school. So I just think that's really great.
I have a suspicion that he did it to help me just as much as the other kids, because I was super duper shy. And so, especially when we started talking about S2S again, I started thinking back and I was like, I wonder if he had an ulterior motive there to really bring me out of my shell, which it did. It definitely did.
Yeah. And I like that, because we do talk about with our student to student programs when we do our trainings that bringing in all types of students, we talk about those students that are military connected, those students that are civilian counterparts. Don't always look for the students that are your great leaders, which we want those students too. But what about the student, like you said, that was really shy, but there was something there to kind of pull you out of your shell and you were going to be really great at it. So I like that you kind of choose a variety of students so that you have a lot of versatility in your S2S. So I like that. I was going to ask before, though, is there something that you remember from your time in S2S, like to this day?
Yeah, I think the training was so impactful for me. They brought in students from all different schools. We actually did it at the Virginia Aquarium, which also has like this like zip lining, tree climbing part, which wasn't my favorite part, but it was pretty cool. And again, being super shy, meeting all these people and being kind of like forced, not against my will, but forced to interact with other students that I had never met before was really amazing to me, just to see, because one of the questions they asked us was, how many times had you moved as a military kid? And to see some of these kids stand up at like 10 times they had moved was, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't imagine getting used to a new school, a new house, a new life, over and over that many times. It was just mind-blowing to me.
It's definitely amazing when you take a poll of a room and you ask, how many times have you moved and or transitioned? And you hear the kids that say, you know, in the double digits. And so I agree with you that transition and that change every time can be challenging, but something that a lot of our military kids do on the regular, obviously, because of the lifestyle. So when we talk about legacy of service with our military connected kids growing up and continuing to serve, we know that a lot of our military connected kids do that. Do you think that being raised in the military community has had an impact on who you are today?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, being able to travel around and the upside of my dad, his military career and being able to live in new places has been experiencing different people. By far, that's probably the biggest thing I've taken away from it is there are so many different communities and every city is just a little bit different and people are a little bit different. That has been so important to my development as to make me just a more well-rounded and enlightened or educated person. It has definitely been beneficial for me.
I wholeheartedly agree. As someone who is also now an adult military child, it absolutely contributed to who I was as a person. And I think you're right, makes you just more well-rounded. You know, you get to experience different cultures and traditions and people and food, even within the United States. I think a lot of times people think, oh, CONUS, you get to do all of that. You get to do all of that in the United States as well, right? Every region, you live in the South, it's completely different than if you live on the East Coast or the West Coast. And so I think you're right. Like, I think it does have a tremendous impact on who you are when you grow up. So I would agree with you. Has it led to your current career path?
100%. When I was in high school, because my dad transferred to Virginia, I was a part of a school district that had a technology academy that, to my knowledge, wasn't available anywhere else, or at least not where I was. And they offered a cybersecurity class there. I truthfully don't know what I would have done with my life, what road I would have taken had he not been in the military and led down to us transferring up to Virginia, because I would have never been to that school and I wouldn't have gotten the career that I'm at today without it.
Yeah, it's interesting how just one little transition or move piques an interest that turns into something that you end up doing for a lifetime. I have a really good friend and family of ours, similar, we both Marine families, and their oldest daughter, you know, because they lived overseas, ended up going to college in a different country, and probably would have never thought about doing that if they hadn't had that experience of already living in another country overseas. And she got to travel to the location. So that's kind of what piqued the interest and was like, I want to go to undergrad here. And she is there right now going to school. So I think it's really cool in France, if anybody's wondering what country she's in, Paris. And so I just think it's really cool, like you said, if you hadn't had that opportunity to take that class, look at where you've gone just from that one experience. And so I think that's amazing. What about keeping in touch with any of your friends from your time growing up in the military? Is there anyone that you still talk to?
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, I'm the internet generation, so we're definitely all on social media. And it's amazing for me just to see how we may not talk every day, but how much they've grown. And, you know, they're all in different states, sometimes different countries, and they're thriving. And it's really impressive. But yeah, we still keep in touch.
I love that you still have that. And I like how you highlighted we're the internet generation, because I am not. There was still AOL, like just starting up when I was in high school, and we were still dialing up. But there are still a handful of my friends as well that I keep in touch with, you know, many, you know, 30 years later from when we were growing up. So I think it's really neat that you can have that. The military is such a special community. We're so tight-knit, and the experiences that you have with those other individuals really do last a lifetime. And so I think it's neat that you still talk to some of those kids.
Definitely.
What advice do you have for other military connected children from a now adult military child?
That's a good one. I think I'd start off by saying thank you, because, you know, your father, your mother, your parent, they're making a sacrifice for our country, and it is a huge deal. However, sometimes the military families don't get thanked as well for making their sacrifice. You know, I remember growing up and not knowing where my dad was all the time and worrying about, is he okay? You know, missing birthdays, holidays, things like that. So just saying thank you to begin with for, you know, the sacrifice they made and are making is important. But I also want to touch back on the experiences you get in different environments and communities. Take advantage of it. Learn all you can wherever you are. It may not be there. You may not be there for a long time. You may be there for a long time, for a few years, but just seize that moment, because it is going to make you a better individual for it in the end.
I agree. I think those are great pieces of advice. And I love that you said start by saying thank you, because I think that's really, maybe we take that for granted a little bit by saying thank you, or, you know, being grateful for the experiences that maybe you have. I always think about when I see a Vietnam vet, you know, wear a hat, or a Korean War veteran, or anyone that's wearing a hat, you know, I always say, like, thank you for your service. And their faces light up when you, like, come up. I mean, they're complete strangers. They're probably like, what's this lady doing? But I always just say thank you for your service, because it's really amazing that they served, and all of the sacrifice that they made for us is really important. So saying that then to your parents and those around you, I think is really important as well. And embracing the experiences, I think that's great too. You're not in that same place forever, and, you know, take what you can from that, because then you're on to that next location. When you were talking about all of that, I was thinking too, is there one person in your life that you had when you were growing up that was really important to you? Like, did you have like a hero or someone that you felt was really instrumental in supporting you and helping you grow?
Of course, my dad was my hero. He was out there fighting to keep us all safe. But as far as like a role model or someone special to me, it's my family. We were in it together. When he was deployed and out there, we had each other. That was all we had at the end of the day. They were the ones that were there for us, you know, for each other.
Yes, absolutely. Family is really important. So I love that. And I always love it when someone says a parent to a dad or a mom. Like, that just makes me, as someone who's a parent, I was like, yes, please say mom or dad for something. So I like that you said dad. That made me really happy. Well, I want to just say thank you so much, Corey, for sharing your story, your journey, your experiences, and what it looks like now to be an adult military child. I think it's really great when we can see our kids grow up and see who they've become. So I want to thank you for that, and appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
I'd like to thank Corey for his time today, as I've really enjoyed our conversation. And we're always thankful to be able to reconnect with our military kids all grown up. Thanks for listening to the MSEC podcast, the official podcast of the Military Child Education Coalition. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe, and give today's show a 5-star rating. And don't forget to leave us a comment on topics you'd like to hear more about. We'd like to give a special thanks again to the Mildenhall Spouses Association for supporting this episode, and Consensus Media for audio mixing. I'm Nikki Harrison. And until next time, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.